They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
This is On The Commons with your host, Sue Bartholomew. On The Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. WBR Fairfax Radio, you're on The Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and joining us on The Commons today, we have Jan Bergman. Jan is president of Cyber Citizens for Justice in Florida, and Jan just held the third, on a national basis, the third homeowners conference put on by homeowners for homeowners in Florida, and it was a tremendous success. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that. Jan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Sue. Always glad to be on your show.
Jan, it was your conference was wonderful. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but I know that it took a lot of work to put it on.
Yes, it did, but it sure was worth every minute of effort to put in there to organize it. I think it was a real great success, considering that something like that was never undertaken here before in Florida. We had great speakers. We actually had too many speakers, so we had to cut them all short, and some couldn't even speak. So we have learned a lot, but I think it was nevertheless a great success, and the response from the people who were at this conference was very positive, and we are sure to have one conference like that again.
Is this going to be an annual thing?
Most likely, yes, because the demand is big. I mean, I got emails by the bunches, great, and when you do it again, more or less, some said, oh, can we have it next month in another part of the state? And I said, no, sorry, you know, that's a little out of our league here. But the people were happy, you know, and it showed, the interest is shown when you see that we had people coming to this conference from all over Florida. So Florida is big. You know, you have partially 500 miles to go from one side to the other, and, you know, we had people there from Tampa, from Naples, from Jacksonville, from Orlando, from the Panhandle, you name it, and that shows how interested people really are to hear positive, owner-friendly presentations that show what is going on in these associations. It was a very educational meeting. We on purpose left out all the horror stories. There are enough horror stories in the media every day, and so we had a very educational meeting, and it was very good. And thanks to you and Beanie and David Kahn and some others who came from out of state to make presentations at our conference, it was even a bigger success. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for letting us come. It was fun. I enjoyed it. And I wouldn't have missed it for anything, not just because the weather up here was very cold and it was nice and balmy down in Florida, but because I think it's time that we did more of this, and I thank you for putting it on.
Well, I think it is time for people to realize that there is another side to the story we always hear from the industry.
So tell me something, Jan, what made you decide to do it? Because, I mean, obviously that's a lot of work, and I know that you do a lot of work every day anyway. So why add on to this?
Well, I think homeowners and condo owners who live in these mandatory associations deserve to have an opportunity to go to such a conference and hear it. You know, they heard from owner-friendly attorneys. They had heard from owner-friendly service providers. You know, these owners now know there is another side of the story. They heard it. They saw the people in person who were trying to do something for them, for the owners. And I think that was missing, because you often hear from these people, oh, it doesn't matter anyway, because, you know, what should we do? You know, they bury us, they threaten us, they intimidate us, and there's nobody there to stand up for our rights. Why? At this conference, it showed there are a lot of people willing to stand up for the owners' rights, and I think owners deserved it, and owners deserve to know that there are people fighting for their rights.
I'll tell you one thing, Jan. One thing that I was really impressed with was the number of attorneys you have in Florida who are members of CCFJ and who do represent homeowners, because that's a big, big problem across the country, as you well know. I mean, you had, it was great. I unfortunately didn't get to meet him, but it was great to see Barry Silver, who was there. And I've interviewed Barry a number of times. Jean Winters, Inger Garcia, I was so impressed with her. And there was another stage, I can't think of her first name.
There was Chandra Parker.
Chandra Parker.
And Barbara Stage.
Right.
And Steve Meyer was there. And we have quite a few other attorneys who couldn't make it for time constraints or because it was a pretty big travel. But we have a pretty good network all over Florida of attorneys who are willing to help. Some are even willing to help pro bono if need be. You know, people as well have to understand that these attorneys have to make a living as well. And you know, pro bono is nice, but, you know, that doesn't pay the bills. So, you know, it is much easier to avoid these huge lawsuits and try to find a solution than getting into a tiff in a courtroom. Because most of these battles don't end up good for anybody. You know, the only winners normally are the attorneys, because the association members and the owners, in the end, they lose because it's their money that goes.
Now, I agree with you, but sometimes there are legal questions and legal issues, and often the homeowners don't find, you know, across the country, they have no one to turn to. But that's not the case in Florida. That was impressive. That was really nice. You had people, attorneys, who took the time to come and to speak and to build a network and to help and to answer questions. And that I found really, really refreshing.
Well, it is. But I have to admit, it took a lot of work.
Well, I'm not surprised.
You know, see, we got these attorneys now to network with each other, you know, to help each other, because, see, most of them are single practitioners with not a big office staff like these big CAI attorney firms. So every time they have a case, they have to check for case law and do research and this and that and that. And now we have a network here where they kind of exchange opinions, where they exchange case law, where they say, oh, you know, I had a case like that last year. You know, here are the documents. Take a look. And that will help. That will help everybody, and that will help all of us.
No, I agree, and that's something that needs to be done. So that's great. You also have a lot of groups and organizations that sort of came together, and they're part of CCFJ, and yet they have their own little organization. And I'm thinking particularly of Condo Owners for Pets.
Yes, we have Condo Owners for Pets, of Owners for Pets and Condos, and that's a big group. They actually succeeded, without professional help or whatever, to get more than 17,000 signed petitions that's a big job. It doesn't sound like much, but it's huge. You hear here, oh, you need 661,000 petitions to get on the ballot and stuff like that. But believe me, you know, these are all ballots. They're collected from, you know, from friends, from door to door. They go to pet shows. They go to meetings of associations and collect a few petitions here, a few petitions there. But that is a huge work to get more than 17,000 petitions signed, believe me.
I'm impressed. I mean, I think they're amazing. And they've been on. I've had David Shapiro on a couple of times. I can't do enough to help promote some of these people who actually take the initiative and move with it.
Well, see, the problem is most of these people, you know, like me, we're not experienced in these things, you know. In Germany, you would say we came to it like a virgin to a baby because we had to. You know, we were forced to get into this and didn't have the experience, so most of us are still learning, but you're learning quickly. And why you see the result, and the problem is people like to see that something is being done. Many people despair and say, oh, nobody is doing anything for us in the first place. What should we do? We give up. We move. You know, I get, in since about a year, I get plenty of emails, hey, good luck in the future. We're out of here. I mean,
I get that too.
It's amazing how many people are leaving Florida. To be honest, understandable so, because we have not only the problems with Home and Condo Owners Association, we have a serious problem with property taxes, and we have an even bigger problem with insurance premiums. But let's make very sure that people understand. We have many, many, many homeowners and condo owners who paid higher special assessments to their association than they paid in property taxes and insurance premiums together. So actually, when our governor tells us, oh, we need to do something to drop the insurance premiums, and oh, we need to do something to drop the property taxes, well, the easier solution is to do something about the problems in association, about the mismanagement, about the embezzlement and the financial disaster you see by unexperienced people who are sitting on the board, who are untrained, often, I don't want to say incompetent, but unexperienced in the issues they're facing there, with huge budgets. You have condos, they have a $2.5 million budget. Some of the board members don't even know how many zeros go in $2.5 million. You know, how should they make educated decisions? They can't. And then you see the big disasters. Money is squandered, and here the people have to pay again. And that is a problem that can be solved without costing the state taxes or income or whatever.
That is a huge problem, and it's not just in Florida. It's all over the place. But I think it goes to the very heart of the concept of common ownership and developments, because what you have is you're putting people who have never, who you know, and I'm not saying they're dumb, and I'm not saying, you know, you could put a brain surgeon and a rocket scientist on the board, but they have not had the experience or the knowledge or the background to handle a multi-million dollar business. You know, that's not where their expertise is. And yet what we've done is we've taken these groups of developments, and from, you know, running the gamut of price ranges from low income to multi-million dollar places, and you're putting these people on, and you say, all right, now you're responsible for taking care of this. It's your decision, it's your responsibility to know whether you need to resurface the streets or what, you know, all of this stuff, and it's just not going to work. I don't care.
Why? And it can't work because, you know.
That's right.
Please understand, and people have to understand one thing, and I don't want to call anybody dumb or incompetent. That's not what I'm here for. But, you know, people don't have the necessary education to deal with these problems. You know, I get a day 30, 40, 50, 60 emails with questions. You know, I'll give you an example. I got this morning an email, what do we have to do? Our board doesn't want to deal with some issues we want to discuss. I said, okay, you know, you have by Florida statutes the right to file a petition. More than 10% of your owners have to sign it. You can sign a petition and ask for a special meeting. You know, back comes, what is a petition?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, you know, see, you have to explain these well-meaning people the basics.
Right.
Now, but these same people now next week go recall their board, which they have a right, and I appreciate that very much because it gives owners an opportunity to get rid of dictatorial boards. But nevertheless, the same person who asked what is a petition is suddenly a board member,
right.
And oh my God, you know, and the next thing is they need a new roof. Here comes a roofer, gives them a 240-page document with the contract for the new roof for $1.5 million. Now, can you tell me how that person is able to figure out if that's a good contract or not?
I know. That's exactly the point that I tried to make earlier. You know, this is not the area of expertise. And like you said, we're not trying to call them down and we're not trying to belittle them, but this is not what they do. This is not, you know, any more their area than my area is doing brain surgery. I mean, you know, that's not what we do.
Well, see, let's face it, you expect an attorney to be able to read the law, right?
Right.
You can really have surprises, I'm telling you. You know, if you see some of the letters with opinions written by a person interpreting the law, you can only shake your head and wonder how that person passed the bar exam.
Right. I know what you mean.
You know, so it's not only the board members or the owners. Some of them are really well-meaning, but they do it wrong, you know, and they often listen to the so-called expertise of these managers and attorneys, and they forget that these managers and attorneys are there not for their welfare, but to make a lot of money. You know, so they're interpretation or their advice is an advice which is given under the pretense of being a good advice, but actually making money for them. And people have to understand that they can't just rely on this expertise because these people want the money, and that's it.
We're talking to Jan Bergman. He's president of Cyber Citizens for Justice down in Florida, and you're on the Commons. My name is Sue Bartholomew. Jan, when these people, I mean, you're absolutely correct in everything you say. We've got some huge problems, and what's the answer? I guess we've all been running around trying to figure out, well, what's the answer? I think that this is a flawed concept, and I'm not sure that it's going to work.
Well, I think it has the same problems than communism. Look great on paper, but doesn't work if humans get involved. The actual idea was great. You know, many owners share the cost for a clubhouse, for a pool, simple things. But then it got out of hand because the industry wanted their hands in the money pot. And certainly it was not just that common area was an issue of these associations. These associations nowadays tell you what color your curtains can be. They tell you what you can hang on your door for Christmas and what you cannot. They tell you what color the flowers have to be in your garden, how high your bushes could be. You know, they get into many, many issues of daily life. And that is where most of the problems occur, and that is where the people get annoyed. That's when you see the big emotional lawsuits coming up. And the only winners, like I said before, are the attorneys. And believe it or not, the attorneys are the first to tell you. Remember on Friday evening, some of our attorneys talked about it. You know, Barry Silver said, you know, he headlined his presentation on Saturday, the outrageous cost of lawsuits. He is an attorney. He yeah. makes his living out of it. And he still admits it's outrageous. It doesn't make sense. You know, he says, no, people should be able to resolve the problem peacefully. There are some cases they have to go to court, but not for, oh, you didn't give me last year's audit, or you didn't give me the minutes of last year's board meeting, now I sue you. And the cost we had one case here, $25,000 for board meeting minutes. You know, that's stupidity. I'm sorry.
$25,000?
In legal fees, yes.
For just to look at the minutes?
Yeah. They were fighting over the minutes of the board said, no, you're not getting them. Then the attorney changed the tune and said, oh, no, that's not what they meant. They meant they don't have them. How can they give them minutes they don't even have? And then somebody came up and said, yeah, but the minutes were written because I have a copy of it. And before anything was said and done, it was $25,000 worth of lawyer fees.
The idea, you know, I talked to Link Cummings, who's one of the founders of CAI, and I asked him, I said, Link, you know, what were you thinking when you sort of started this concept? And what he told me was that he wanted to bring a sense of community, because especially in this area where you have a lot of transient people, he wanted to have the old-fashioned barn-raising type of community, and that's what he thought he was doing, or at least that's what he says he thought he was doing. However, when you look at the concept and when you look at the infrastructure that we have with these associations, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you disagree with me, but I think what they do is they destroy any sense of community that may exist otherwise.
Well, yes, and you know, even judges tell me, I talked a few years back with a Supreme Court judge here in Florida, and she said very clearly, she said, you know, in former times, courts dealt with simple neighborhood issues, you know, dog barking, branches growing over the fence, kid playing, radio too loud, you know, muffler was too loud, and these kind of things. Now, we're getting fancy law firms getting in the courtrooms, and in the end, a simple neighborhood dispute ends up in a $250,000 lawsuit. You know, we had a fence dispute here in Florida. In the end, after all was said and done, the $2,500 fence has cost $360,000 worth of legal fees. You know, this makes no sense.
It's absurd. It's absurd. I agree with you. It's totally absurd. It's absurd. Let's get back to the conference. You said you had too many speakers, but you had a very packed and a full program. You had Friday night from, what, 6 to 10? And,
yes.
And Saturday from 1 to 5. So you had 2 4-hour sessions. And you didn't get to everyone who wanted to speak. And these were not the homeowners. These were not the people who were there to gripe. These were the people who were making presentations.
Yes. I mean, beforehand, we told everybody who wanted to come, this is not a gripe show. You know, we don't want to talk about the horror stories. We want to talk about improving the system. We want to talk how we can do it, what needs to be done. We want to hear suggestions, and we want to hear what is necessary to make our homes back our homes, you know, give us back our neighborhood. And I think that worked pretty good. We had good speakers who did it, and I tell you the truth, I had a few more who actually wanted to speak, and I told them for starters, sorry, no can do. See, we had as well attorneys speaking there who are not part of our organization, But they kind of begged me, hey, can I show up because, you know, I'm with you, but I'm not part of your organization. But nevertheless, I would like to tell the people how I feel. And one of them is here in Florida known as the homeowners advocate as well. And so there are plenty of people who are on our side. Actually, during the conference, two new attorneys signed up as members.
That's great. I noticed that a lot of people came up. Some people were complaining that they hadn't heard about it, or that, you know, it's really difficult to get the word out, but people were thrilled to find out about CCFJ. And I noticed that people were coming up with applications and checks filled out at the end.
Right. But see, the problem is that there are too many board members who don't want them to know. See, the Sun Sentinel, which is the biggest local paper there, had twice articles about the upcoming conference.
Right.
We had it prominent on our website. Our people distributed emails. They told the people. But I had as well, we had flyers. And owners printed out flyers and hung them to their bulletin boards. What? Managers, board members, you name it, they tore them down as fast as they were hung up. Because don't forget one thing, it is much easier to influence and rein people who don't know what is going on than knowledgeable people.
So there was an actual attempt to, you know, to prevent people from knowing about it. Is that, that's what you're saying?
Yeah, well, that is sure what I'm saying. I mean, I had in one case a condo owner, he said, I hung it up. 10 minutes later, it was gone. I hung up another one. I saw the manager tearing it down 5 minutes later. I hung it up and talked to the manager. And he said, why? You're not allowed. You have to ask the board for any kind of posting you want to post. And he said, look, the people here post that they have a car to sell. They post they have a barbecue for everybody at the pool. Please join. Nobody's asking the board to post on this bulletin board. Yeah, but announcements like that have to be approved by the board. he said, look, this is our bulletin board. You're the manager here. You know, you're a paid servant here. And he said, well, I do what I want. So he hung it up again. Here came the manager and tore it down again. So that was a game they played all evening long. It's ridiculous.
Well, I guess the best thing to do if you want your free speech is go to the local grocery store, at least in Virginia. You can usually post signs up there or put them in medians on, you know, public roads or something.
Yeah, right. But see, the problem is it would be best served on a bulletin board.
That's right.
In D.C., where we were on Saturday evening, you saw the high-rises there at the beach in Fort Lauderdale called the Gold Mile, which is a source of many, many, many problems. And there, many of the boards are just dictatorial. They don't want the people to know. They tell them, don't go there. They destroy our lifestyle. And you name it, it's all said. And the attorneys aren't better. They're sending around emails saying, oh, they're destroying your life. If you listen to them, it will cost you an arm and a leg. And you should see some of these emails. They're about as outrageous as they come.
Oh, really? Are you putting them on your website, Jan?
Some of them I do, yes. If they're too outrageous, yes, I do.
Why don't
Otherwise, I would need an extra website to post them all.
Why don't we give the listeners your website as we think about it now?
The website is www.ccfj.net.
That's ccfj.net, right?
Yes, sure.
And so you can see some of these emails.
Right. You can see some of the emails. You can see some of the postings. You can see some of the comments in the newspaper made. You know, for example, the Sun Sentinel letters, irate letters from attorneys that they even dare to write an article, publish an article about our upcoming conference.
You're kidding.
Oh, no. And the reporter said, excuse me, I had 2 weeks ago the announcement about the CAI conference down the road. You didn't complain about that, did you?
What did they say?
Oh, I forgot about it. And one lady attorney who is always very outspoken, she thinks, said, oh, I guess I lost it. Well, I think she lost it long ago.
Oh, the games people play. We're talking to Jan Bergman, president of Cyber Citizens for Justice in sunny, warm, and wonderful Florida, with its share of HOA problems. Let's not overlook that. Jan, I've heard from other people, other states have organizations and groups, and others, you know, other people are looking or thinking also about having a conference. I mean, California had one 18 months ago. Last May, there was one in New Jersey. This January, you had one in Florida. What advice, having been through it, what advice would you give to some of the others? What are the lessons learned? What worked really well? How much work is involved? What would you tell these other states?
You have to have an organization because you need the necessary insurance, you need all kinds of things because otherwise you will not get the room, the meeting rooms and things like that. You have to be organized before you can organize something like that. Then you have to have a network where you can work with, you know, to get the speakers who are willing to talk at your conference. You need the foundation to build upon before you can start thinking about having such a conference. But it can be done, and, you know, for example, I heard from the people in California what they did. We couldn't repeat it here because it was a different setting a little bit, but we could use some of their expertise. As you know, we had folks from Texas here who were more or less observers and said,
right.
Well, we want to see how you do it, and because we want to make a conference in Texas pretty soon, and so we're here to take a look. And I think that is very good because we have to help each other from state to state because we have to work together. And it is sometimes just a shame that people who should be on the same side of the fence, meaning the homeowner side, are often not in agreement and, in a way, often fight them each other. That makes no sense, and it's a shame, but can't be helped. That's human. And that's the same thing you have why I say, the human side of the issue often destroys the best ideas.
Well, you also, I mean, it can work because you have, for instance, Citizens for Pets and Condos, or that organization. I mean, they have one basic goal, but they're also part of a bigger organization. They're part of CCFJ. They, you know, you can work together. Their members can, you know, you don't. I sometimes think, Jan, that what we're facing is we've lost control of our own homes. And so when we do that, I think that quite often the homeowners go and start these little organizations, at least that's been my observation over 20 years, and what they're trying to do is control that organization. And they don't want to merge or work with any other organization. I think that you can still maintain your autonomy and still work with and network and come together with other organizations that have similar goals?
Well, you sure can. And see, we work together with quite a lot of small organizations who are within associations. We're working within associations. You know, they're called concerned owners in Mayfair or whatever the association's name is called. And they have their small little email groups. They may have a bulletin board, you know, a little limited email website. And, you know, we link with each other. And I always tell them, you know, the guy who, you know, mostly you have one or two people who run these organizations, these small association located organizations. And so I put them on my email list, and they in return then distribute my emails with information to their group. See, we have actually on our list, we have more than 5,000 email addresses, and quite a few of these people in turn distribute then the emails to their little groups. You know, we have, we work with groups that are 3, 5, 7, 10, 12 people. But you know, the numbers are important. See, we work, for example, with the Property Owners Association of the Villages, which is a big development here in Central Florida. That group has more than 3,000 paying members. You know, so you have to network, you have to work together, and even if you may not always have the same exact interests, we have a general interest which kind of combines our interests, and that is home ownership and our private property rights. And under that umbrella, we can work together, we can try the best to do together, and that's the only way it will really work.
So you basically worked with other organizations, so that's something that you would recommend to other groups out there, for instance, Texas, who's looking at, you know, who's planning on putting together their own conference one of these days soon, hopefully. What other, you know, what other words of wisdom are you, can you pass on?
Well,
I hadn't thought, I'll be honest with you, I hadn't thought about the insurance bit.
Well, you know, for example, we had reserved a community center in Fort Lauderdale where we had our conference on Friday evening.
Right.
Which is owned by the city of Fort Lauderdale.
Mm-hmm.
And we had everything said and done, and everything was okay, and I had the written, yes, you can have the room that evening, wonderful. You know, we paid, I think, $670 rent for it, and that was all fine. But then about 10 days before the time, I was told, oh, by the way, we forgot to tell you, you needed $1 million liability insurance policy where the city of Fort Lauderdale is named as co-insured. So I called our liability insurance, and she said, whoops, I need to ask, you know, sorry. Actually, it cost me another $670 in liability insurance, you know, just to get this room organized. Well, next time we're smarter, but, you know, these are all things you have to consider.
You have to learn.
And you know, the $670 was only because we have a liability insurance for the organization, so that was just an addition to what we have.
So you are, you do have insurance. That's amazing, and the fact that it's the city that they charged you for that, that's ridiculous. Your taxes pay for that.
Yeah, but that's how they do. And I had another one. They wanted actually $1,100 for the meeting hall. That's a lot of money for a grassroots organization, believe me.
So Jan, you didn't charge for the conference. How did you? Where did the money come from?
We have membership, and our membership. We collected the money, we got donations and so on, and, you know, just you have to book it under PR.
So, okay, so you had to, you actually had to go out and raise that money.
Well, actually, we have it. we have a pretty well-filled coffer to work for these things and to do some advertising and so on, because we have, in the meanwhile, I think 385 paying members. That's quite a lot for a grassroots organization. Just talked yesterday with somebody from the Florida House, and he said, well, you know, most of the grassroots organizations, they have 10 or 20 or 30 paying members, and the rest are just, we're part of it. He said, so you can be pretty proud about the membership you have accumulated over the years.
It sounds great, yes. I've always thought you've done an absolutely wonderful job with CCFJ. My hat's off to you, Jan. What did you learn? What would you say not to do? What did you do that, in hindsight, you wish you hadn't? Anything?
Well, first of all, not that I wouldn't have done it, but first of all, you have to learn that if you tell a speaker it's 5 minutes, speakers don't understand that 5 minutes means 5 minutes. They all talk longer, they mean well, but they kind of get your program a little, let's say, disturbed. And then you have to give enough room in the end to let as well the people talk.
Yeah.
For next year when we plan another one, we have a few less speakers in order to make these speakers not so time limited, and then give the audience more time to talk, to have their say, to give their impressions, their ideas, and so on. But I think a conference should be a place for education, for learning, for what can be done. It shouldn't be a gripe show.
No, I agree with you, and you're absolutely right. I have a Google alert, and I get 3 or 4 alerts a day on homeowner and condo associations, and each one of them has, you know, several articles. So, you know, you've got articles all over the country, and that's what the mainstream media is interested in. That's what, you know, they want the headlines, they want the dog that barked stories, but we're looking at something a lot bigger and deeper than that. So I agree with you, and I appreciated that. One thing, you know, we all stayed in the same motel, and one thing that I was very touched by was the couple who came in Sunday morning when we were having breakfast, the Maria Elena.
Yeah.
And is it Kevin, Keith, the husband?
One was Dale and one was Keith. So I don't know which couple you're
okay.
referring to.
But it was nice to know that they came and they appreciate everything that's being done. I was told that people have been able to overthrow the, you know, they took over their board, that they've been learning from on the Commons, that you helped them, that, you know, that all of the things that we're doing, you know, sometimes you do the show and you think, gee whiz, I wonder if it's doing any good. It was really good to know because people came up and said, oh, you're on the Commons. I listened to you, or, you know, the show helped do this, and you won't believe how much help Jan was. And I think you had just helped someone overthrow their board, like the day before, the week before the conference.
Yes. Well, actually, I'm dealing with 2, 3, 4 recalls a week.
Wow.
It is a very common issue. Because, see, don't forget, condo associations are regulated, but honestly, the DBPR, which is supposed to regulate it, the government agency, is doing a real shitty job. I don't know any better word for it. But in order to avoid big lawsuits and, you know, big confrontations or whatever, a recall is the best way. You know, there's no accumulation of lawyer's fees. There's no big issue. It will be decided within a few months latest. You know, lawsuits can go 3, 4, 5 years. And you make the changes you need to make. You know, because you know, getting the DBPR to find your board, what good does it do? You pay it anyway in the end because the fine is paid from your dues, and then the board will continue doing wrong what they did wrong in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, so the only way out really is to recall the board, and since here in Florida the election provisions, well, I don't want to call them ridiculous, but they are more similar to Banana Republic than to any civilized world. And, you know, there's so much cheating going on at these elections that I even tell the people, look, don't bother with this election. Let the election go. You know, wait for the announcement of the new board and then just recall the new board. You know, because recall is a thing where nobody can influence the recall procedure. In an election, you know, we see boards go through the ballot box before and say, oh, look, here, this envelope comes from Max. Max is the guy who always bitches at the board meeting. Whoops! This ballot goes in the shredder.
Yeah.
Oh, here's another one. Whoops! In the shredder.
Right.
You know, that's the way they're doing elections.
Yeah.
And see, with a recall, in the end, you file the petitions, you give it to a process server, you have an affidavit that you served so and so many petitions, and that's it. Now it's the board's turn. So you have a much, much better way to do things without getting into a big legal tiff.
So you actually have some help from the government, the process server, and this is a recalling the board is something that you get help with, right?
Yes, and actually Florida law allows me to help with because it is not really considered an issue where you have to have an attorney.
So, but you talk about the process server. Is there some oversight that's provided by the state for?
Yeah,
recourse?
Well, your process server is a profession here, which is regulated, and you give the process server normally $25-$35, depends on the county you're in, and he will serve it to the president or to the secretary, and he will give you more or less a receipt, meaning an affidavit saying, okay, I served to President Jim at such and such time, on that and that day, at this and this location, 143 recall petitions, and as an affidavit. And that is your proof that it was served to the board according to legal procedures. Because, you know, you get the ones, oh, yeah, I gave it to the president at the board meeting. Well, funny enough, the president later on says, oh, that's fine, but I only got 70. You know, oh, no, I gave you 110. Oh, no, I only got 70. So how you prove you gave him 110? And your whole recall is down the drain already.
Yeah.
You know, so you need your proof. You need to run the thing. Actually, we have two websites specifically for recall, one for HOAs and one for condos, which differ a little bit in procedure, especially in the forms. And they have heavy traffic on there, believe me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
Get a lot of hits, huh?
Yeah, well, no, they can't get hits because I have them password protected. For one single reason, people don't see the difference between condos and HOAs. Oh, we live in a homeowners association. Oh, good for you. You know, oh, yeah, our building has 10 stories and, you know, so on. I said, so you're not in a homeowners association, you're in a condo association. Oh, but that's the same. Well, not by law, sorry.
No, yeah. No,
you know,
no.
So you before you give them the tools to do what needs to be done, you have to sort out first where do they live, which statutes regulate the association they're in, to give them the right tools for the right purpose. So that's why I have the password protected, and I have the people asking me saying, look, I live in association such and such, we have so and so many units. I even asked for the attorney because I know most of the attorneys who deal with this. I can already tell the response, so I can give them helpful hints what to prevent and what not to do. And then I give them the password. and it works like a charm, actually. It's the most successful thing at all.
Well, sounds great. Well, I know you've done a great job down there. We're sort of running out of time. We've got just a few minutes. Let's summarize in a nutshell for anybody else out there. And I think that every state should be doing this, especially states that have a lot of issues and problems like Florida, California, Arizona, Nevada, New Jersey. Unfortunately, we don't have the organization here in Virginia. But for all of these states, Jan, very quickly, 1, 2, 3, order of importance, what do they do? What do they think of if they want to put on a conference?
Well, first of all, you have to have the interest of the owners there. You have to see that there's interest, because why holding a conference if nobody will listen? Then you need good speakers, speakers who kind of are known. The people know, you know, they have read about them in the newspaper or seen on the website or something like that. So you have to make it interesting, because don't forget, you expect them, you know, to spend a Friday evening or a Saturday afternoon. You know, you have to offer them something. And third, you have to see that the media is willing to write about it. To make the advertising, you have to see that you have a network to get people, because only if everything fits together, you have a conference that has the success you wanted to have.
Getting the word out, I guess, is kind of the big thing. You had good turnout. I don't know. A lot of people who came Friday came on Saturday, but it seems to me Saturday was much bigger. Or was it?
We had actually on Saturday, I would say we had about three times as many as on Friday evening. Yes, part of the people you saw on Friday evening were there as well on Saturday, but it was, I would suggest, a much different crowd. See, on Friday evening, we drew a lot of people directly from the high rises you saw directly at the community center.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the Fort Lauderdale condo world, or Gold Mile it's called, in Century Village East. We had on Saturday afternoon a lot more people from the, what you call the retirement communities, you know, more the townhomes, the single family homes, which are kind of west of the I-95 here in Florida. It was different from the get-go.
Yeah, because I talked to a number of people on Friday, and I asked them, are you going to be there tomorrow? And they, oh, yeah, we'll be there. So the people, I guess I just ended up talking to the right people who said, oh, yeah, we'll be there. And I saw them again, which was nice. They came up to me and said, oh, I talked to you last night, remember?
Well, you definitely talked to quite a few of our members. Actually, the people we drew who are not members into the audience, they were different. You know, who was there on Friday evening was not necessarily there on Saturday afternoon.
No, I realize. And I realize that there were a lot more people there on Saturday, and it was a different crowd. But you also still had a number of people who came. So that was really good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. How long did it take you, Jan, to put this whole thing together?
About 4 months.
So you'd been working on this for about 4 months, huh?
Yes, we started, we had the idea in summer, and then we discussed it, you know, among board members and among people who normally work with us. You know, I talked with the attorneys if they would be interested, you know, to speak at the conference. And then slowly but surely it got together and, you know, you got the main idea. You had to invite the people from out of state. As you know, one of our main issues was the Homeowners Bill of Rights, which was published by the AARP. And, we had the author, David Kahn, there as the main speaker of the event. who explained why he wrote the bill, why he put in the things he put in, and so you need to get your speakers. And but the biggest problem was actually the location, you know, because see, don't forget one thing I realized real quick. Even if these communities have large clubhouses, a lot of the board members don't want their people to hear what we have to say. They don't want to hear our message. So don't even try to ask them to get their clubhouse. And as you remember, on Saturday afternoon, we were in Century Village.
Right.
And I can assure you, they didn't want us to be there in the first place. And we realized it. And I mean, I heard later on from quite a few people, wow, we were at the gate and we didn't have an invitation and they didn't let us pass.
Oh, really? So there would have been more people there.
Yes. And I had to apologize to quite a few. And it's kind of a matter of, do you really want to do a conference in a gated community? Because don't forget, you have many, many board members, you know, especially the guys who are sitting there, who are hugging their seats since 15, 18, 20 years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have these guys, you know. I just talked with one. He said, oh, no, I'm the president since 18 years, and I tell them who sits on the board with me. And I said, yeah, but, you know, according to 718, you know, you have to have official elections. He says, what is 718? I said, you know, that's actually the Condo Act, and you as a president should kind of know about it, you know, because that is what drives the whole issue. And he said, I never read it. I will never do it. You know, I do what I want, and that's good enough for our association. These are the people who wouldn't give you a room if their life depended on it, believe me.
And that's why you need more conferences. Jan, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, and thanks for coming here to Florida, Sue. We really appreciate it.
I'll come anytime, Jan. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I'm energized by it, and I'm just in awe of you. So thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. That's onthecommons, all one word, .us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. Thanks again for joining us, and see you all next week.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings closed to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years. Stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.